Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic, cool turned up to 10 show in store for you. We've got the director and two of the stars of a new movie just coming out, it was released technically on the 24th, but tonight, today, starting this evening, 100 theaters across the United States. The name of the movie is Emerald Run, and I'd like to welcome Eric Etrebari. I'm probably messing his name up. Yancey Butler.
That's pretty good.
And David David
Chokichi.
Chokichi.
Mine's easy. Yancey Butler's an easy one, yeah.
I'm telling you. So you three, before we get into Emerald Run, you three were on a pretty awesome show called Witchblade, and then you came together for this. Is it just a small?
Yes,
town
we did. It was
in,
like a reunion.
Hollywood, huh?
Yeah, I think it was the first time
that
we were
so
all
cool
on set together since Witchblade.
Man, that's amazing! That's amazing. Now, are you guys, where is everybody from? Are you guys, you're not L.A. natives or whatnot, right?
Eric is.
Eric
I'm from
is.
Massachusetts.
Okay.
And I'm
oh,
from
God.
New York City,
okay.
But we all live in Los Angeles now. As a matter of fact, Eric and David live about 3 blocks away from each other.
Yeah.
It's true.
Eric does the stop by.
Yeah.
All the time. Depending if he's out shopping or not.
Yeah, if there's sugar in the cabinets, then Eric comes over. He can smell it.
Fantastic. I moved to Southern California. I went to college in Boston, and then as soon as I got out of school, I said I need the polar opposite of Boston. So, and actually, that's not true. I tried to live in New York, where Yancey's from, and I lasted about a month and a half. And I said, no, I need to. So I moved to San Diego, which means I was in L.A. every weekend because I had moved to San Diego and all the action happens up in L.A., you know. There's not much going on. And
I love
San Diego,
though. San Diego's beautiful.
Yeah, it's not bad, you know. I mean, you can spend a month there at a weekend. I'm kidding. It's a very lovely town. I'm telling you, the problem with San Diego, when I lived there, everybody from out of town that would visit all wanted to go to the zoo. I went to the zoo so many times,
yeah.
The animals would recognize me. They're like, here he is again, with no food.
I bet.
Oh,
well, it's
funny.
Like people coming to New York. They want to see Empire State Building and, you know, and all of that, so it's the same.
Statue of Liberty and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Well, this is cool. So Emerald Run, this is a very interesting thing. I started watching the film. I got maybe a quarter of the way through it, and for some reason my computer died. My computer blew up. We had a storm, and there was a lightning thing, and so I had to buy another computer, and I finished it so there was a break. I didn't start off the second time where I'd stop, so I watched the first part twice, and this is a cool movie. This is a very cool movie. A lot of twists and turns, and adventure tale, a lot of desert filming. How did this all come about? When were you guys approached for this project?
Why don't you take it away, since you...
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it was, what did we determine, Eric? It was December of 2016 when it started.
Yeah.
You know, it was independently financed, an independent film, had a certain director attached to it, and, you know, I really related to the character. The character is kind of a version of myself. He's a father. He is a surfer. He is a carpenter, you know, and I loved the journey that the character went on in the script. So I fought for the thing and had to do a screen test, believe it or not, and got the job. And then everything was great. We shot for about 2.5 weeks out in Anza Borrego National Park, which is this beautiful slot canyon right near the Salton Sea. And then they ran into troubles with the director as soon as we wrapped that portion of the film. And then the film sat dormant for about a year and a half with just sitting on these hard drives at this insane guy's house. And, you know, I knew the work we had done in the desert. Everybody, all the crew and the cast was special. And I knew there was something there. And the investor had already spent a significant amount of money. So I lobbied him pretty heavily to pick up the pieces and continue and finish the film. And, you know, he's like, well, who do you have in mind? Who would direct this thing? And I was like, Eric Etabari right away, because if there's anybody on this planet who can direct a film on a shoestring budget and make it look like $1 million, it's Etabari. So Eric came on in about a year and a half after the shooting in the desert. And then, he and I did like pre-production for probably a year or 9 months before we crewed up again and shot for another 3 or 4 days with some second unit stuff. And at that point, you know, when Eric came on board, we were trying to fill out the cast because we needed basically a beginning and an ending, which we were lacking. So we were thinking, you know, John Thomas, my character, needed a wife, and we're like, let's call Yancey. So both of us called Yancey, and she said yes. And then, you know, Eric called in a bunch of other favors with Chris Mulkey and Michael Paré, and, you know, we were off to the races. That was the kind of the origin story of how it got to where it was. And then, you know, Yancey, Eric, myself, and everybody just punched it out. We all worked for, you know, nothing basically to finish it. And, you know, I think the takeaway from it is, you know, how hard it is to finish a film in this town, and not only finish it, but to actually have it be seen and actually go to theaters is like, you know, it just doesn't happen, you know? And when it does, you have to take a step back and go, wow, we did something right. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot to this. Like you said, you know, I mean, overcoming those obstacles and whatnot, and then getting distribution, getting the rating, and that's a big deal. You know, people don't realize that aren't in the film business. You know, they're like, everybody like me, you know, I'm not in the movie business, but I talk to a lot of people who are, so I kind of know a little bit. But most people don't realize. They think, oh, they filmed this last week. No. Sometimes, maybe, but very rarely. It's crazy. I don't know how you guys do it, to be honest with you. I'm a big movie buff. I'm that guy that, you know, that has the backyard movie theater and makes my friends watch movies with subtitles and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people. But that's easy. That's nothing, you know. I never take on a project where my gal is looking at me going, okay, Picasso, what are you going to, you know, yeah, this is going to take a year and a half of your life at minimum, and you better have some funds coming in, you know. I don't know how you guys do it. I'm amazed.
A fun little trivia fact and irony is that David asked me to help him put him on tape in the very beginning for this project. And it was there's like four scenes. We spent like 4 hours in his garage. You know, David, it was a lot of work. He gets the role. I think it was just kind of random. Like a year later, I was at David's house in the refrigerator, of course. And I think David, I said, hey, whatever happened to that movie that I helped you audition for? And then David got into the whole story on how it got shelved, and then we started brainstorming. And then, you know, I think we did the best thing to do to re-interest an investor. We talked them into getting the hard drive. We reviewed all the footage, and I got a really good buddy of mine, an editor named Don Money, and we cut a trailer. Now, you cut a trailer, it kind of got the movie back up and running. It gave the investor a sense of what he had. And then we actually, you know, once he got on board, we decided to try to edit everything that was shot in the desert. And the challenging thing about the desert was there was a lot of scenes that they hadn't shot. So we were dealing with trying to edit around stuff that were missing coverage or missing scenes. So it really became this puzzle. And as it grew, I mean, it seemed like Dave and I were just going to shoot a couple things and tie it up. As it grew, it just got more advanced and more sophisticated, and we were able to add the cast and upgrade with Yancey Butler and Michael Pare and Chris Mulkey.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Elbe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
But, you know, it's a classic thing in independent filmmaking, and I think it worked to our advantage, was, you know, when you have investors, you know, I always try to tell an investor, like, what are other objectives and goals you can get out of this movie? If it's just to try to make your first movie and think you're going to win an Oscar, you've got another thing coming. You know, that's very challenging. But if you're out to make a movie and you can find other things that you can gain from it, whether it's experience, offering opportunity, employing, seeing your vision come, or just get the film experience. And we had talked the investor into not only being in the film, but once we found out his daughter was in film school and a writer, we just thought this is a wonderful opportunity for this investor to get more out of this movie. He can put his daughter in a position that you'd have to go 4 years in film school for. And he responded to it. So we pulled on all the right strings to entice the investor to reinvest in the movie and find other ways to get a return on that investment. So it wasn't just predicated on the movie being a box office smash, but it was an opportunity for him to expose his daughter to the business. It was an opportunity for him to save face. It was an opportunity for him to be an actor as well, you know. So we just kind of found all the things that you'll realize when you do low-budget movies and you have private investors, there are usually certain things that you can do for them that at least make their journey while they're spending all this money much more enjoyable and fulfilling.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you guys, I never dealt with film investing or any of that. I have dealt with like real estate investing people and whatnot. And man, once a deal is in a, I don't think it really matters, but once a deal is kind of, I hate to use the word poisoned, a bad experience, goes down, it's hard to pull that up, man. It's hard to pull that plane back up in level flight, you know, with the same investment.
Oh, yeah.
My hat goes off to you. That is amazing, you know. Man, a lot of because, yeah, once they've got a bad taste of an apple, they don't want to try again, you know. It's sometimes.
It's
yeah.
True.
What?
It's true, but a flashy trailer will do a lot. You know, I mean, movies are sold. Terrible movies, bad movies, incomplete movies, projects are constantly sold with good trailers. So kudos to our editor, Don Money, for getting us to that stage. You know, but at the end, I got to say, like, when you talk about experience, this opportunity to reconnect with Yancey and David on this project, it had a deeper meaning than the movie. We all had worked on Witchblade. We all felt we had this amazing chemistry. And for that to have ended and it take 20 years for us to get back together, there was this kind of closure, but at the same time, it kind of reopened like my love for them and my appreciation for that time that we had. And I mean, to be honest with you, Yancey, Dave, and I are right now trying to figure out, hey, what can we do together? You know, what is that Witchblade resurgence, whether it's not Witchblade or it's another ensemble cast that deals in the supernatural. I really think when you see David and Yancey in the movie, and at least my experience when we were all together, you know, we've got a good thing going and we want to keep it going. So we're really open and looking for people who have projects that think that could reunite this Witchblade cast, and we're ready to go.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Like
I can't believe it's been
on our show.
Well, that Yancey?
Yancey,
saying,
I can't believe it's
like
been
a little family.
20 years.
Yeah,
it's been 20 years, which is crazy, and we've remained friends this entire time. You know, when you're doing an hour episodic television show like Witchblade, you're never working less than 16 hours a day, sometimes 17, 18, 19 hours a day. And you're seeing these people on a daily basis more than you see your families. You know, so we became a family in that process. And Witchblade was originally a movie. We didn't think it was going to be a television show. But, you know, people talk about how short-lived it was. But, in fact, we got an extra 2 years out of it that none of us expected. And
call the backdoor pilot.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
So we became like this little family, and we're so tight. And, you know, I think that you needed that tightness and Ed Abari to be able to pull off Emerald Run, because, you know, we had 3 days to do that entire film. You know, it was rough. It was rough. And I don't think that without the chemistry that the three of us had that we would have been able to pull it off. In all honesty.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't know it was shot. You guys shot the extra stuff, the finishing stuff, in 3 days. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, we did a full production of 3 days, but really David and I probably spent 8 days going around doing shots all over the place, getting DPs. Like we really pieced it together. But I think we had 3 days where we had all our top talent, Loki, Perret, and Yancey, to get them in and out because their schedules were pretty busy. And you know, we had this small window. And, again, you know, when you're working with friends that respect you, everybody was fantastic. Like, it was a wonderful experience. A lot of work, though.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
amazing.
I
remember,
that's
like, Ed Abari wanted this scene on a bus. You know, with my characters coming back from Mexico, and it was just classic, man. We were like literally guerrilla filmmaking. I don't know. Eric dropped us off down like near downtown, and me and the camera operator Dan sat on the bus bench waiting to get on. He filmed a bunch of stuff of me waiting at the bench, and then and then I got on the bus and we just were stealing footage. All these people, they didn't even care. They looked at us once and then they were like, oh, they're just some weirdo filmmakers.
Right.
I didn't know that. Bus from behind in a car waiting for them to get out.
Yeah. Because we got dropped off somewhere like on Venice Boulevard, and we had to have Edabari pick us up. It was classic.
That's funny.
David had to make a phone call, but we realized he didn't have a cell phone in the desert, so we're like, we'll just use a payphone. Okay,
yeah.
Where is there a payphone? We look all over Hollywood to find a payphone.
We found one. An artifact.
Yeah.
Dug it out from a dune. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Well, the film opens, like I said, the information I have is 100 theaters starting tonight, and then, Eric, you were saying even more after the weekend. So it's all over the place. I mean, how cool is that, you know?
It's really cool. I've been posting, and I've kind of titled this The Little Movie That Could. And listen, we know we can make The Godfather, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when you make a movie that had already started shooting, had a different vision, had a different director, had a different DP, had a different cast, now we're adding different story elements to the beginning and the end to match the middle, that movie's going to have bumps and bruises. But that being said, from the stuff in the desert that I wasn't involved in to the stuff in L.A., the movie has heart. So if you could get by some
of absolutely.
Elements that happen when you're dealing with a movie that's struggling and had this many problems, and you get past that, and you're a fan of David Chokichi, and you're a fan of Yancey Butler, you're going to love this movie. You're going to have fun with this movie. I think for the faith-based audience, the more they get behind it, the more I think they'll show filmmakers that they're open to different type of faith-based movies, more action-oriented, not just these preaching, overstated religious movies. And our movie is one of those first movies where it's really action-based. And so I think it could be used as a platform. If they get behind this movie and support it, I think it'll show distributors and filmmakers that, hey, this genre of faith-based not only has a huge crowd, but they're also open to more interesting storylines that deal in this topic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well said, buddy.
You know,
I was just going to say that's really well put, Eric.
You know, I am surprised that people haven't kind of picked up on that yet because, yeah, there's a huge market there for that. And it seems from someone on the outside kind of looking into it, that it is all kind of like one note up until now. And then you see an action film and you're like, oh, wow, this is an action passion. this works.
Yeah.
And you certainly won't have a lot of competition.
No, say again? None.
Well, that's what originally, you know, attracted me to the project is not only Eric and David and helping them out, but here's this, you know, here's this dude in this kind of formulaic, if you will, you know, dangerous situation that you always need to have in an action film. You know, it's this dangerous and exciting situation. But this character, David's character that he played so well, you know, has this internal journey and this internal struggle about what lines he's willing to cross and you know, what he's willing to do for his family out of love and questioning his faith. And I think that we all have struggled with that at one point in our lives, you know, our questions of faith. If we're lucky, our lives are full enough that we're able to explore these avenues and kind of what he's willing to do, you know, moralistically. And I liked that slant on an action film. I've never seen that. And I think it was a really...
I agree. It's fantastic.
You know, I'd like to mention... Is Yancey? I can't hear Yancey anymore.
Yancey, are you there?
We might have
something
lost
happened on my phone. Sorry, I'm right here.
Oh,
there we go.
I was saying David played it beautifully. What were you saying, Eric?
You know, another thing, like, and I always said, you know, David was so committed to the role that, you know, regardless of, you could shoot a movie on an iPhone, if your actors are committed to the role, it
right.
doesn't matter. You know, that plays on any format, in any platform. And I think that David started that way with the audition, and he ended that way doing a pickup shot in the middle of his living room that's supposed to pass as a restaurant that we shot at. I mean, from that moment to the beginning, you know, David was giving it 100%, and it made it so much easier for me because I didn't have to take on this weight of the visionary of this director for this movie, but I was really a director to help my friend, like, get to the finish line. And it was so exhilarating to get to the finish line and then involve all these people. And then to look back and realize we've got cameos from Stephen Williams, John Schneider, Michael Paré, Chris Mulkey, Vernon Wells. Accidentally, like, look at that cameo roll up. Then you tag with Nancy Butler and a few of our other friends that are in the movie. That might not have happened if we had started it all from the beginning. But the fact that we had these two starts gave these two new perspectives and relationships to the movie. And to me, that makes it more fun. It might look a little incohesive to some people that are being critical, but I think you'll be like, wow, look what else they got. Oh, wow, look what else they did. Oh, how fun. And not worry about the segue so much and more enjoy the moment that, you know, David's being true in it. Because he's in every shot. So if you love David Chokichi, go see this movie.
Yeah.
Well, and I would, you know, there's going to be people. It's the internet. And there are going to be one or two people out there that, you know, everybody's, especially critics of any type of art, you know, they always forget that first thing. All art's subjective, you know. If you don't dig something, that's cool, you know. Find something that you can dig. But that doesn't mean just because you don't dig something that everybody else shouldn't dig it either, you know. I wouldn't worry about those people. I'll put it this way. I enjoyed this film, and that's good enough for me and my friends. So.
Well, good. Then we've done our job.
Yeah.
You know. It was a lot of fun. It was a good journey, and it makes you think. Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was just saying, it makes you think. You know, I thought about this film after watching it for several days. It stayed with me. I was mulling it in my head, and I enjoyed that part of the process, too. I like a film, any type of life that makes you,
you know, any,
kind of go on that
any
journey.
Time of, yeah, you know, and any time you're as an audience member, if you're watching the film and you're thinking about it even remotely after the movie's over, that's a score, that's a win for us. Because most times, I mean, and everybody, all of us, when you watch a movie and it's horrible, you don't think twice about it. After you click it off and you're like, that was a waste of my life, hour and a half. You know, and so that's a great compliment.
Very true.
And you know what else, I think what Yancey was saying too, you know, and for this character, you know, I think a lot of people can identify, because most people, if they're really honest with you, they go through some sort of crucible in their life, or multiple crucibles where you're tested, or your spirituality, or your whatever it is, you know, you get put to the test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so for an audience member, I think it's great that you see this guy go on the journey and then come out, and, you know, in the beginning, he has zero faith in God, zero faith in spirituality, and he has no faith in himself. But throughout the the interactions and throughout the story, he starts to believe again, which is cool. And we didn't, you know, and this was intentional on Eric and I, and we wanted to make sure, because he was such a non-believer in the beginning. We didn't want him like all of a sudden running around handing out Bibles at the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we just wanted him to have like, oh wow, he experienced what it means to have faith, and he's gonna see where that takes him. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it wasn't, this didn't beat the audience over the head with any of the religious trope, if you will, that you know,
right.
People, they hear the term faith-based film, and then they're like, oh, well, you know what, this is, no, that, you know, it you don't know. Watch this, and, you know, the amazing thing is you're watching an action film, and then you kind of think about it, and you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. I get what they were saying. I understand.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
I got a trivia note.
I like that. Say again?
I got a little trivia note. So
there's
a scene when David's out on his stand-up board out in the ocean. Remember, he's paddling out there. And I went out there with David, and I did the underwater GoPro while there were, like, sharks and seals underwater, and David and I were floating around.
You could have been eaten,
Eric,
David.
Almost, no.
Yeah, no.
The funny thing is, Eric almost drowned because we had to have I needed a weight belt so I could sink for this shot we wanted to do, and we went way out where, you know, it's like 100 feet deep. So Eric's like, I'll paddle the belt out on this little kayak.
Oh, no.
And he flipped the kayak in the surf, and then he could barely get to the surface because he had the weight belt on that he forgot about.
Oh, man.
He was just getting pummeled. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm laughing my ass off.
But I got the shot.
He got the shot.
That's all that matters.
Now, that is a filmmaker right there.
Yeah, that's dedication.
Well, it's amazing.
We're glad you
chose
the film, man. That's great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a link up on our show page to the Facebook page for Emerald Run, the movie. And I want everybody to go over there and check it out and like and share. It's very important. We live in an algorithm world now. It's just how it is.
That's right.
And all three of these folks will tell you there's meetings with people in suits, and they say, well, what's the engagement? And there's, you know, excitement like that. It helps a lot, ladies and gentlemen, if you like and share.
Certainly
you did something,
does.
Like their social media. Yeah, absolutely. And also, I will add, go to Amazon or wherever you see the movie, because it's on all over the place. Hit that review. Leave a review. Very, very important. It helps a lot. It helps a lot. And as an artist, I'm sure these three will tell you, it's kind of nice when you see a nice review, you know? Helps you get next morning and do it over again.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We'll take it.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
It means a lot to have, you know, a positive review, especially when you know how much time and effort you put in. You know, it's like, you know, and it's like you said with the bad reviews, people, like, of course, there's going to be haters and whatever, and they don't know the backstory. But if they took the time to read a little backstory about the movie before you gave it a review, I think most people would be like, oh, wow, they struggled and they made it and they stopped and they started and they finished and they got it in theaters. It's like, wow, I give them credit, you know?
I'm telling you.
You know what's interesting about today's society is that you could actually just kind of steer your life to the channel you want and just follow those people, share those people's stuff, and you can create your own world. Just find the ones that identify with what you're doing and you like and stuff you like, right? I don't have to look over to that side that doesn't like me. You can create your own side now. You can choose your own places you want to get your reviews. Why do I need the other review? You know, it's pretty interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, and people create these bubbles like that. And it's, I think everybody does to an extent, especially social media kind of changed that. You know, or started that, I should say. You know, I see it happen a lot. And not just politics or whatever, but in entertainment in general. You know, it's very, we live in interesting times. And it's amazing, you guys, like, hear your movies out in 100 theaters tonight, and people will still, this weekend, be watching this on their phone. There'll probably be somebody in a theater watching the film on their phone at the same time.
This movie is there's 5,000 or more movies made a year. And how many movies get to the finish line and then get this opportunity to talk with you, talk with the cast, have a theatrical release, get some reviews, get some interviews. I mean, that's just kind of the movie. It had its own thing too, right? There's a little magic to the movie in itself.
True.
It's amazing. It's amazing. A lot of the aspects, people, I'm telling you that getting that little PG-13 deal on there, that ain't the easiest thing in the world, you know?
Oh, no.
It's,
you have to go back and forth.
I was surprised you didn't have 13. I thought it wasn't a 13. I thought it was just going to be PG.
Yeah, well,
it's pretty PG.
I mean,
a little blood, though.
It is. You know, and I didn't see any craziness in there, you know? I mean, there wasn't any, you know, body parts or what have you.
But
there were limited zombies in it. No, I'm kidding. There weren't any zombies.
We shouldn't underestimate, though, the fact that it's in theaters was just an unexpected bonus for all of us. And I really got to credit Eric and David with that, you know, difficult feat, because as somebody said earlier in the conversation, you know, the fact that you do these indie films and for it to be in a theater is almost unheard of. And I didn't expect it at all. And I really credit Eric and David both with the journey that they took with this film and the finished product. It's mind blowing to me, actually, you know, to be involved in the process and then have these accolades come up. It's really quite astounding. And I really credit you guys for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Sure makes
it
fun. Yeah, thanks.
All right, it's very cool. And folks, we'll be posting a link. I saw Avail Entertainment, I should say, posted on I think it was on Facebook. I saw it. Could have been on Twitter. I can't remember, but I'll find it and I will be posting it on all my social media too. All the theaters and all where it's all being played. They had a list up, and I'll get that out for your listeners and whatnot. Because hey. You know, what a great date night movie, and you can bring some, you know, it's action-packed, but it's not, you know, just action, and, you know, your gals will dig it too, gentlemen, that's what I'm saying.
We have some news.
Not just action, I got
to
wear fake nails. I got to be a chick in it, so it's not just action. Yeah, I got to wear a skirt and fake nails. Are you kidding me? I never get to do that. It was a blast.
Yeah.
And she looks so good in these skirts. My girlfriend, Tara Stanford, killed it.
Yeah.
Nice.
She did.
Nice.
Good money.
Well, there you
she did a great job.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I know I kept you guys a little longer than I said I would, but you guys are all fascinating, and it's such a cool opportunity to talk to the three of you and have you on the show and everything. I'm a little starstruck. I apologize about that, but... it's very, very cool.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, you guys, before you go, we wanted to save a little surprise for you, and you would be the first one we were going to say this to, but we're now in development on Emerald Run 2.
Yeah,
really?
Boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
We're excited. We're excited to see now where this
you heard it here
could
first.
And go. You heard it here first.
Man,
yeah.
Oh man. Well, that's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see Emerald Run 2, and I can't wait to have you guys back on the show to talk about it. Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
absolutely. See you later. Thanks again.
All right.
Well, there
you
go, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man.
Bye,
how
friend.
Exciting. How exciting. Goodbye. Have a great one. Very, very
thank
cool.
Thank you. You too.
Man.
Bye-bye. Bye, boys.
Oh.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Very, very exciting. You heard it here first. Hey, how about that? How about that? I'm all excited now and pumped up and jazzed too. This is a very cool movie. I like this film. And, again, if there was a couple naysayers out there, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody who's been, not directly in entertainment, but I've been in the art business for a long time. If you think movie review people are mean, oh, baby, nothing like failed artists, right? You know, they call them critics. They can be real mean, but you know, that just means you're doing something good. If somebody says something and it's not everybody's saying something bad about this film. I certainly am not. I really enjoyed this film. So there you go. Take it from me. Very, very cool. Well, that's going to end this episode, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to be back tomorrow. We've got the writer, the director, the investor that we were talking about on this episode, Anthony Caruso, is going to be on tomorrow, and we'll be talking more about Emerald Run and the interesting journey of this film. It's an amazing story. They could make a movie about making this movie. It's fantastic. So tune in tomorrow for that. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms that we're on. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're on like 260 of them. Wow. I didn't even know there were that many podcasting platforms. But there are. And we're on them all. Actually, I think there's probably quite a few more. But we're working on getting on those, too. But the big one we're on is Apple Podcasts. Of course, if you are listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcasts or any of these other podcasts, hello from the past, do me a favor, just like we talked during the show, hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page. And baby, that is where we like to be. In all seriousness, it makes my job super easier when I'm talking to advertisers and whatnot. Why, they call me back. It's they answer the phone when I call. It's amazing. No, our advertisers are awesome. Be sure to support them. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening and sharing the show and everything and making it what it is. This is episode 951. How about that? 951. For those of you not in the podcasting game, you're probably going, well, so what? That just means you talked a lot. Yeah, I talked a lot. 951 episodes. It's amazing. I'm so proud of the show. It's just so, you know, we started this a couple years ago, and I literally thought we'd do like maybe 15, 20 episodes, something like that. And here we are, 951. And the only reason that happened, the only reason, ladies and gentlemen, is because of listeners like you and whatnot that kept it going. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And we get to talk to people like that, have shows like we did today. It's, I'm pretty lucky. I'm pretty fortunate. And I really dig it. Okay, folks, so that's going to wrap it up for us today. So we will be back tomorrow. Be sure to tune in then. Have a great Friday, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.